Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Monash University Express is available to comment on Facebook's decision to restrict publishers, people from viewing and sharing news content. We're going to catch up a yarn with Associate Professor Carsten Rudolph, Department of Software Systems and Cybersecurity, Faculty of Information Technology, Monash University. And talk about the content blocking by Facebook raises questions about the role of digital platforms in society. And we as First Nation radio station, Bumrabrip Media, did get a mention and talk about the decision that Facebook has made. It makes it hard for a First Nation radio station for us to reach our audience via the Facebook page. On the line, we got Associate Professor Carsten Rudolph. Very good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So there we have it, the digital world, the 21st century, information age, but with the click of a button, it could be all lost in regard to news information, news reports getting out to people. So it affects a lot of people, yes?
Yeah, indeed. And I guess the issue is a little bit that we need to understand what these companies like Facebook are actually there for. And, I mean, they are not non-for-profit organizations providing nice free services to us.
Yes.
They're actually money-making companies, and they use our data that we give them basically freely in exchange for using the services to go about with their businesses, which is kind of exploiting our data in lots of different ways.
Mm.
And it doesn't mean that any of the services that they give us are guaranteed, and we don't have any agreements that guarantee anything. So I guess we need to think a little bit about where we get the services from so that we can rely on them.
Mm. And so when you look at it, virtually Facebook has had a free run with this so-called information, free information, and they are a business entity, a multi-billion dollar corporation, and you could say they've been running a free reign, so to speak.
Yes, and I mean, it's also bit of an imbalance in power. Maybe a little bit of background. We work across the Pacific with many Pacific Island nations,
mm-hmm.
while the Oceania Cybersecurity Center, which is a non-for-profit organization here in Melbourne. And we work with the governments in Samoa and Tonga and Vanuatu and also Micronesia on their cybersecurity, and Facebook and social networks
mm-hmm.
is a big issue there, and it's all small nations, so they don't have the power to really stand against these big multi-billion dollar international companies, and so they really depend on them at the end. So it's really tricky to find any careful way to go through this digital transformation in a country like Samoa without creating these dependencies, and then at the end you don't really know how you can still get your news if you only have very few platforms to do that.
Exactly. So when you look at the Australian government and Scott Morrison and the Treasurer, Mr. Frydenberg, approaching the owner of Facebook page, Zuckerberg, do you feel that he got he put a bully tactic across the table towards the Australian government, or the Australian government just saw an opportunity where he was taking free rein and he needed to pay for his services? And so the conversation got messy, and he flexed his muscle by pulling the services. So you feel as though that there should have been a more open conversation and a compromise, so to speak?
Well, look, for sure, I mean, Facebook tactic was a bully tactic, and not even giving a warning to all the different pages that they pulled and all that was not a good move, and it creates lots of issues around Australia. The problem from the government Australia side is that the target of the legislation is basically providing some income or some additional money to the big news corporations.
Yes.
So I think the government probably needs to step back and understand what the landscape is, and that we have all these small organizations, independent radios, community radios,
non-profit like ours,
etc.
Yes, exactly.
And this needs to be covered in the legislation as well. And I think currently it's probably not sufficiently.
Yes. So, but it also shed light on Facebook as a free enterprise business across the globe, because they do operate across the globe. Other countries can now approach Facebook as well in regarding their tactics in that regard and the free reign that they've been using, and they need to pay for the service or for the information. True.
Well, again, it's a bit tricky. Where does it start that you actually have information that Facebook would need to pay for, and where, what is okay to share? Like, if I share a link to, let's say, your news ticker on your website, and I share it via Facebook, would that mean that Facebook would need to pay somebody for sharing that link?
Yeah.
Probably not. But then there's also all the other creative content that goes on Facebook. That Facebook benefits from. So why do we single out news as a single item that should be paid for, where there's arts, there's songs, texts, whatever, all these different creative data that Facebook gets and benefits from, and also our personal data we give to Facebook. So Facebook uses my personal data to make business, to get compensation for
and
that.
And you get nothing out of it.
Much bigger question.
And you get nothing out of it if you was to give it that information and they run with it.
Well, I get a free service out of it, but I need to be, I think that we need to find a way to make this much more transparent. And there's two things to this. One is I need to know what they do with my data. And the second is I need to have reliability for that service if I really use it for things that I need to use.
Yeah, exactly. So the information superhighway is going gung-ho, could be running too fast for us to keep up regarding policing this platform, this situation, yes?
Yeah, probably. I mean, the thing is, there's lots of benefits of that. If I look across the Pacific, we have all these undersea cables, and suddenly we can have a high-quality video conference with the federal states of Micronesia, which a few years ago, even getting a fax through would have been difficult. Thinking about a telephone call might have worked, but maybe not. So that's fantastic. But I think we are very quick and kind of following up with that digital transformation without really understanding the consequences of having all this automation, having digital platforms running all the things that we need to rely on, having connections between everything.
Yes. I mean, has left us vulnerable, hasn't it?
It does, and this is when this Facebook thing is just is politics, and is a
politics.
Kind of players playing politics, and it's not even anybody doing any malicious actions. And
cybersecurity,
there can be lots of other issues.
But the other thing that comes to mind, Professor, is the world we live in at the moment with the pandemic, COVID-19, that it's a matter of life and death if people aren't getting the information. So it could be a death warrant to how the action that Facebook put out there in regard to their move in blocking out news. Is that the case?
It is. It definitely is. And it's a big problem. And, well, I guess I would kind of expect the government to step up in that situation and kind of provide some way to distribute that information and support organizations like yourself.
Exactly, especially non-profit. Look, a very important conversation, watching it very closely, not via Facebook at this point in time, Twitter or what have you, but Professor, thank you very much for sharing with us. All the best to you, your team, your family. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon.
Thanks a lot and good to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A very important conversation there. Associate Professor Carsten Rudolph. He's from the Department of Software Systems and Cybersecurity, Faculty of Information Technology, Monash University. And our conversation was content blocking by Facebook. Raises question about the role of digital platforms in society. And, of course, in his paper, Bumma Bipra Media, a First Nation radio station organisation, did get a mention as an example of what could happen and what did happen. And it makes it hard for us as First Nation registration reach our audience via their Facebook page. So it just shows that it's just a bit of a shamble at the moment. The superhighway, information superhighway, is out there going hard and fast, and then the political arena comes to the table, and they have a free enterprise company, a multi-billion-dollar company, sort of dictating or bullying information going on there regarding the approach by the Australian government, which all other governments across the country are watching this conversation. So there it is. Add to the conversation here. Tell us your thoughts here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Jesus Christ, the Holy Father and Son. Will you search the sky beyond the stars, around the burning sun? Will you find your truth and keep the faith in a world so mixed up? Good God, good God, He made this world with love. Good God, good God, He's like the mighty sun. Sent His begotten Son to show that He is real. Miracles and Jesus' love, the sick that He healed. Good God, good God, He'll wash away your sins. Good God, He fetched the sacred stone. He wandered in the wilderness with the laws of the land. And they gathered all believers to hear the praise of God. The people found the promised land, the land they came upon. Good God, is there life in the after death? Will you find God's kingdom? Good God, good God, He made this world with love. Good God, good God, He's like the mighty sun. Good God, good God, He made this.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Recurry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the over-representation of First Nations people with the cognitive disability in the criminal justice system warrants own Disability Royal Commission hearing. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Deputy CEO of First Peoples Disability Network Australia, and that's June Reamer on the line. June, very good morning, sis. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thanks. I, first of all, like to acknowledge that we're on many countries and lands across this nation.
Yes.
And pay my respects to those people.
Thank you, June, very much. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, June.
Yeah, so my name's June Reem. My mob are the Foley clan on the north coast of New South Wales. So we're Gumbangi, Dungadi.
Fantastic, beautiful and lovely footprint. Now, people with cognitive disability will share their experiences with the criminal justice system at the Disability Royal Commission hearing in Brisbane. I think that went ahead. Tell us the situation regarding First Nations people with cognitive disability, please, sister, in the criminal justice system.
So, So, you know, for us at FPDM, we've been talking about this now for well over 10 years. And we would say, you know, discrimination and disadvantage, you know, for First Nations people, particularly those with disability, is a, you know, a huge issue in our country today. And what we're seeing is that the prisons are now the new default for, you know, institutions for people with disabilities. We have high numbers of our people being in indefinite detention, in incarceration with cognitive impairments and, you know, psychosocial disability and other forms of disability that really shouldn't be there.
Mm.
You know, this lack of action with the government to appeal, you know, their laws and change their policies and practices, we've been asking for a long time, as far back, you know, it's a couple of years ago at the United Nations in New York.
Yes.
That these things need to change. You know, you can't have an indefinite detention for people with disabilities. You know, what we've seen that, you know, if they appealed guilty to, you know, the crime they've been accused of, most of them would have been out in a few years rather than being held for 10, 20 years. And not only being held in incarceration, but locked up in solitary confinement up to 22 hours a day.
And look, and there is a big gap in regarding the communication and support, especially, well, nothing beats black on black is what we're talking about here, June. And then when you're talking about a disability, a cognitive in this sense, they are way behind the eight ball and they're going through the criminal justice system and they are, well, in a way, duck out of water, but there's no communication, no sensitivity at the table and leaves a big gap in more ways than one.
Yeah, so that's why we're asking for our own Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander hearing. So our mob feel comfortable to share their stories so their real stories can be heard, and we hope systemic change can happen in the system, because we can't keep just locking up people with disability.
Well, exactly, and there's got to be a pathway for the so-called criminal justice system, a pathway for greener pastures, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, and to a better life. We are humans, we all make mistakes, but there's got to be more communication and respect at the table.
Yes, and that's what we're asking for at all levels of when a person comes into contact with, you know, the justice system. We need disability advocates at the table, you know, to support these people to navigate a system that was never designed for them. You know, our people are living in a colonial world that doesn't incorporate, you know, their cultural values, their cultural knowledge and stories, and how, you know, things look differently out in communities. So, you know, if we can't, you know, have disability advocates supporting our mob, you know, at every level, you know, whether that's with incarceration, when they're coming out, or before they even get to that door.
Yes.
You know, so that's what we would like to hear, but we need our own justice hearing with the Royal Commission so we can, you know, make change.
Well, if you look at it, it's so simple. But when you look at the fact that when you're dealing with First Nation people, no matter what industry, no matter what profession, there's got to be a platform there for a First Nation organisation to be working alongside the so-called colonisation organisation, company, whatever the case may be, so we can have that communication and the breakdown of mishaps and yarns and stories, educate the people and help our people move forward.
Yes. But that needs systems change, and, you know, our government needs to be ready to, you know, to hear. If we're not hearing, we're not hearing the stories, as I said earlier.
Mm.
So, you know, these policies and practices have to change. You know, it's been up to, you know, the disability community to make change in regards to, you know, normal institutions. We're now seeing prisons as the new norm to institutionalise our people through no fault of their own.
My sister, you're banging the drum here, which is fantastic, and because you represent the First Peoples Disability Network Australia, FPDN, who do you take your concerns or your argument to? Which minister? Or it seems like we've fallen on deaf ears.
Well, you know, we're constantly talking to, you know, all sides of Parliament, you know, both sides to, you know, have this conversation, get this agenda front and centre.
Mm-hmm.
We were instigator in the last Human Rights Watch report, which was 2018, talking about the confinement of people with cognitive disabilities. We regularly go to the United Nations and in New York and Geneva to, you know, to hold our government accountable.
Exactly.
You know, the UN Committee on the Rights of People with Disability have always been extremely critical of the Australian government in regards to, you know, supporting First Nations.
If the shoe fits, you wear it. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, we're only a small organisation and we bat well above our weight, but, you know, we talk it up constantly because we're invested in change, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We all come from, you know, that level of, you know, we want to support our most, you know, disadvantaged and our most vulnerable. And those are the people living with disability have never really been able to, you know, be part of a system that wasn't designed for them in the first place.
Exactly. And disability is an illness, is a sickness, and sick people need help, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes these are acquired disabilities too, through, you know, car accidents or no fault of their own.
Exactly.
So, you know, in regards to disability, we need everyone having this conversation. And we come from the social model of disability, which says that it's the society that creates the barriers.
Well, we're having this conversation on National Talk Black. You're going across the country, so government organisations, MPs, Member of Parliament, they're listening. So thank you for the yarn, my sister, and keep banging that
thank
drum.
You.
And we'll be in touch, June.
Have a good day.
All thank the best. You. Take care, sister. Bye-bye. That's June Rima. She's the Deputy CEO of First Peoples Disability Network Australia, and talk about the over-representation of First Nations people with cognitive disability in the criminal justice system warrants own Disability Royal Commission hearing. And they've been banging this drum for the last 10 odd years. So government need to have a listen to where we're heading in regard to the future of our people, First Nation people in the criminal justice system. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That daily number here is 1-800-422-416.
Black Lives Matter, I'ma rep the flag for us. Ancient spirits, gifted. the ancient stories. Let our knowledge guide us, freedom as we sing our story. Raise our pride with glory, celebrate those who came before me. Always was, always will be, can never erase that story.
Always was and always will be, it can't be so.
sitting in the cool. I remember that afternoon. A young man told me, oh, I can feel it's true. She takes me back to the island where the mangroves meet the sea. Inside the sunshine, it's the least, and the shadows form funny trees. She said, walking through that hot clay, I dreamt of a home with waters clearer than day. She sings, Nimata to be there.
Nimata to be there.
Nimata, oh, what it's like to be there. Quanigo,
to Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. If you are on the shy side, text a brother, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page, we're on BBM 987 FM. News are pretty tight in regarding Facebook page, but you can check out the information and photos and all our yarns happening here on National Talk Black and with our local programs as well here on Bummer Bripper Media. Now, the COVID-19 vaccine national rollout strategy details the phases in which vaccine will be available. You can check out the COVID-19 vaccine webpage and Google that and get all the information. But phase one, quarantine, border and frontline healthcare workers will need to provide proof of occupation, to demonstrate their eligibility. Quarantine and border workers, including staff at entry points to the country, such as seaports and land borders, staff working in quarantine facilities, including those employed under Commonwealth, state or private agreements, and Commonwealth employees, including defence personnel, who are identified as having the potential to encounter returning travellers as part of their work. Frontline healthcare workers subgroups or prioritisation. Frontline staff and faculties of services such as hospital emergency departments, COVID-19 and respiratory wards, intensive care units and high dependency units, laboratory staff handling the potential infectious material, ambulance and paramedic services, GP respiratory clinics and COVID-19 testing facilities. All other healthcare workers are included in Phase 1B, including medical and tertiary students and placements in these healthcare settings, aged care and disability care staff, aged care and disability care residents, number of doses up to 1.4 million. Phase 1B, elderly adults age 80 years and over, elderly adults age 70 to 79 years, other healthcare workers, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, 55 plus, adults with underlying medical conditions, including those with a disability. People will need to provide proof of these conditions to demonstrate their eligibility for vaccination via My Health Record, a health professional referral if required, or a declaration form. Critical and high risk of workers, including defence, police, fire emergency services and meat processing. Workers will need to provide proof of occupation to demonstrate their eligibility. Phase 2, that's adults aged 60 to 69, adults aged 50 to 59, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people age 18 to 54, other critical and high risk workers. And Phase 2B, balance of adult population, catch up any unvaccinated strains from previous phases. Below 16 if recommended. So check your current eligibility by going to Googling the COVID-19 vaccine. So that's the best way to do it. Keep up to date and make sure we do what we need to do to protect ourselves, protect our families. We are still living in a pandemic, Bob. But stay tuned. Daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416.
You're gonna have to step.
Beef over rump, oh. Beef over rump, oh. We like to taste the bully beef over rump. Beef over rump, oh. Beef over rump, oh. We like to taste the bully beef over rump. Beef over rump, oh. Beef over rump, oh. We like to taste the bully beef over rump. Beef over rump, oh. Beef over rump, oh. We like to taste the bully beef over rump.
Beef over rump is not just low cost. Yes, it's good when you're cooking for a big mob. It stays fresh when the power's off. See, I cook it up, it tastes good.
At least for this, Murray.
When I cook, I got a thing.
It's a hunger thing.
Will the mob like it?
Cause it's a mob thing.
Just step right up to the stove in a big pot. Tell the mob you're cooking bully beef of a round.
Everywhere. Dream. our spirits will not die while we're still dreaming. Oh. I've heard the voices of our ancestors about their rhythm through the wind upon my skin, and I vow the rainbow serpent open wide and take me in. So I'll be dreaming, always dreaming, till the emptiness is underneath my skin and the shadows of the past swallowed by the sun, till I'm lost, alive and dreaming. Sickness I can't explain, a sickness thrust upon us, and only dreaming can make it go away.
Yeah, it's called Dreaming, Robert Wharton with Josh Arnold here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Hope you mob a dreaming, dreaming of beautiful days and living a daily life. That's what it's all about. We're going to catch up yarning with Samantha from WA. My dear, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. You're my best medicine, Trevor.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Put a smile on your dial. That's what I'm here to do.
Yes,
and how are you traveling?
Wonderful. John, who's my care and my son,
yes.
He listens to it. He's got it blowing outside.
Good.
So the neighbours can hear.
Hello, John.
So.
How you going, my brother? Good. He's your carer, isn't he, Samantha?
Yes, he is. He's been looking after me for 8 years.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Now, you are going to get the vaccine for this
pandemic? No, Trevor, I'm not.
You're not?
Because, well, I'm 82,
yes.
As you know.
Yep.
And I want to know, previous years, these vaccines have taken years in the laboratories to be passed to the human consumption.
Mm.
Why now is it so quickly given to us? I don't believe it.
Sure.
I want the people in the laboratories to test it first.
Yep.
On themselves instead of the general public.
Yep.
Because I do not believe that they're better than the people that have been doing it for years.
Sure.
I do not believe it. It's impossible. And I'm in touch with Europe because I have got relatives all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got another vein over there.
Yes.
And we're not giving the right information how many people are dying.
Yes.
I'm fortunate because a lot of my family's in Malta.
Okay. A very, very important conversation.
Island.
I want to talk to you more about this. I've got to go to the news, my darling, but we'll talk soon. That's Samantha calling from WA, and look, a very important conversation. I want to have a chat to her about that as an elder and deciding not to take the vaccine. But Murray, I've got to go to the news, mob. Thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are in a pandemic.